This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Cinco time.
Cinco de fuego, with some more as some of your fan. Soon in a near was brewing the list that's so so there. Controversy in the air, opinions flying high. Sean's got the scoop, don't miss out. Give it a try from the top to the bottom. The rankings are alive. Every week a new surprise, keeping listeners revised. So grab your sombrero. Join the fun, don't be late. Cinco de Five-O on WFN. It's always great.
Da, da, da. Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. I'm fired up. Feel a little vacation from there. All right. We started the show today. You can go back on the Odyssey app, rewind to the 2 o'clock hour with Evan simply stating, are you worried? Yankee fans with Stanton, Mets fans with Manaea. The are you worried carries over to 5 o'clock. I'm here to give you my updated list of the five pitchers most likely to win the most games for the Mets this year.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Paul Blackburn.
Mm.
Woof. That's where I'm at with five.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
Number four.
Jose Buda. Going to win games in the bullpen early, but like we've talked about, more pitchers full. Maybe he gets those starts late in the year.
Could end up in the rotation.
Could end up in the rotation and runs off some wins.
Yeah. I think Carlos.
Carry over the combo.
I think Mendoza said early in spring training, if he ends up back in the rotation, that's probably not a good thing.
Sure.
Because it means there were a lot of injuries,
but we're getting
he has pitched well as a starter.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Number three, I'm putting Kodai Senga here. And you're going to yell and scream and say it was only 1 year. I'm very interested in his health throughout a whole season here this year.
Well, I'm not going to yell and scream. I'm going to explain calmly to you and others when people say Kodai Senga is injury prone. He's been here for 2 years, one of which was a brilliant rookie season, and the other was completely riddled by injuries. So does that mean he's injury prone? I think this is the tiebreaker. I think if he comes out and he only makes 12 starts this year because of injury, I would agree with you. But if he goes out and makes 32 starts again, I think that last year could be viewed as maybe an aberration.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Clay Holmes, top of the rotation for now. And you never know, maybe he's a guy later in the year, win some games out of the pen.
I am very high on Clay Holmes. And there's a few reasons why. It's not just the three innings he pitched in a spring training game. But I like him to make this transition. And we've seen guys do it. We saw Seth Lugo do it. We've seen Jordan Hicks do it. Like, the reliever becoming a starter and actually having success is not crazy. So I don't think I'm being like some crazy, delusional, optimistic Met fan. I'm not necessarily joining Tommy in his bet with you that Clay's going to have a better year than Max Fried, but I like him. I'm very excited about what we're going to see from Clay this year.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
The number one pitcher on the Mets, I think, will win the most games this year now that we know Manaea's hurt for now. I think it's David Peterson. Had that run that kind of saved them in August last year. I think that we end this year and David Peterson's unquestioned starting opening day next year.
Well, that would be a great thing, David Peterson.
That's
blossoming.
That's my optimism shade for you, is that Peterson has a big year.
The only issue I have with your list is that Sean Manaea may only miss three or four
he
starts.
May.
To delete him and put him behind Jose Buhto and Paul Blackburn as a guy who, look, I'm not a big win guy anymore, but I'll play your game, and put him not even in the top five, I think is crazy. Like, are you that confident this oblique is going to cost him 2 months or something?
My gut instinct following this and dealing with pitcher injuries and seeing this, I don't think we see Manaea until the end of May.
Well, that would be bad.
I know it would be. By the way, I could be completely wrong. I think that they're gonna play it on the safer side more than the elevated side.
I would tell you this to my fellow Met fans, and I'll go deeper on this when I do a Rico Brogna later tonight once my entire family is sleeping.
Jeez.
This is the Rico Brogna Podcast.
My worry meter on Manaea will go up based on the next few weeks. The next few weeks are very important. And you may say, well, what the hell is going to happen in the next few weeks?
Of course, they're at spring training.
Well, is he going to throw?
Right.
Is he going to recover? Is he going to begin his spring training?
How much is he going to get ramped up by the end of spring training?
Right. Look, it takes 6 weeks. It's not like, oh, he's healthy, let's go. So I think, because Mendy kept it open-ended earlier today, he said he could throw in 7 days. He could throw in 14 days. He could throw in 21 days. If he's not throwing, and we're sitting here 3 weeks from now, well, every day he doesn't throw, the longer his loss will extend into the season. And the more starts you're going to ask from guys like Griffin Canning and Tyler Miguel, and that's not even my worry. My worry is when you go deeper into the depth, the bowels of the depth, if you will, and now you're asking Justin Hagenman to make a start or Brandon Waddell to make a start. And I get it. You're like, who the hell is that? That's the point. That's where the depth really gets tested, because their young arms, like Sproten did well, they're not ready. They're not going to make starts in the month of April.
If I had to ask you right now,
yes,
you could pick any pitcher on the Mets staff, knowing what we know now, or Severino in an A's uniform, does Severino win more games as a starting pitcher this year than any Mets starter?
No. I'm going to say no on that. I'm not confident Seve's.
And wins aren't everything, but you get the point.
Wins aren't everything, but I'm not confident Seve's going to have a tremendous year. By the way, I do have to disagree with something.
Mm-hmm.
I have to disagree with both of you, because I like to check out what Tommy and Sean are tweeting over the weekend. I always find it curious.
But, you know, you are something else.
You say check. I would say the authorities would call it stalking, but that's fine. You like to stalk
us. Put stuff out in social media, I read it. I mean, what is it there for?
There are times you act like you're not paying attention to anything me and Tommy are, and then you go, oh, by the way, I checked every move you made.
So wolf in sheep's clothing.
Sometimes I don't check it. This weekend I did.
All right.
So I've got an issue with a Tommy tweet. I have an issue with a Sean tweet.
All right.
The Tommy tweet was, I love the fight on both ends in the third quarter. I mean, there's nothing to love about getting your ass kicked by the Boston Celtics. So I thought, unless you're making positive Tommy, like positive Nick Tommy.
How dare you?
I thought that was very lame.
No, how dare you? So that's not the full tweet. That was the first line in the tweet. So how dare you mislead the audience?
I'll read the entire tweet. I love the fight on both ends in the third quarter, but the bottom line is 0-7 against the Celtics, Thunder, Cavs, and the results haven't been close. Yeah, but you started with, I love the fight. There should be no love written in a tweet after your team gets its ass kicked.
And the Knicks are rolling extremely.
They were
dude heavy.
Shut up, Tommy. They were on pace to lose by 30. They showed me in the third quarter what I want to see through four quarters. So I gave you a positive first, and then I gave the bottom line.
Disagree. Now let me get to Sean. Sean, and like, this is the problem I run into with Sean. Because his excuse sometimes when he tweets something dumb, Lukey doesn't do this, is, well, I was just trolling. That's just what I do.
No.
And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, can I respond to something you said without you just running away from it saying, well, you know, just that's what I was doing. I trapped you. I got you into a trap.
I want to make one thing clear. I don't know what the tweet is.
Okay.
Usually toilet tweets are the ones where I'm entrapping people.
It's always a toilet or you're boozing or your cousin's over or somebody you went to high school with. There's always a reason for what you do. You're just a jerk.
Non-toilet tweets are usually standard. So what do you got?
All right. So you here's the crazy part, Tommy. Sean tweets so much.
I do.
I can't even find it. Like, he tweets so often that it gets lost in the ether. Unlike Sean, who I'm like, I saw it.
Loogie. Yeah.
Loogie, I
tweet less often than Sean. My tweets are more prominent. Your tweets are more just like volume.
So, in a response to a tweet mocking Carlos Rodon's performance over the weekend, Sean wrote, he would be the ace of the Mets rotation.
Yeah, this is fact.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Rodon on his best day is better than any Mets starter.
He's better than Kodai Senga?
Yes. We've seen more.
On what? Can we
see Senga for more than one decent year?
See Carlos Rodon with the Yankees for more than 1 year? That wasn't even decent last year.
Rodon wasn't good last year.
Don't even want to start him in the playoffs.
Don't get upset because it uncovers the warts of the Mets. Every Met fan knows their rotation's an issue. Yes, I know this sounds crazy.
I know the rotation's an issue, but I'm...
If the Mets sign Rodon to that salary, and it was Rodon your ace, yes, he is.
Now you're saying because he makes a lot of money.
Well, that's part of it, too.
I think Kodai Senga's better.
Okay. So the fact that it's even a conversation should tell you something about the Mets rotation.
Right. But I got that both off my chest.
And you could say I responded to Pete Hoffman from the Rico.
Oh, was it Hoffman who did
it?
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. I'm looking at it now. Hoffman
trolled the Yankees.
Well, Hoff's another guy that needs a hobby. He tweets too much.
Carlos Rodon, 2 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs. Hoff writes, unfortunately, this is regular season form.
Yeah. So, okay.
All right. Now let's get to what's important. The New York Yankees have finally decided that they're not going to play Frank Sinatra's version of New York, New York after they lose. And I want to commend Keith McPherson, our coworker, because Keith has not only been really kind of rallying against this for a while, and I know a lot of us have talked about it, but there's a difference between talking about it and rallying against it.
Yeah.
Keith has rallied against it to the point where he had T-shirts made, "Don't play Frank after losses."
KM to AM.
I commend Keith McPherson.
I do, too, as a Yankee fan, because it's one of those things that I think unanimously all Yankee fans agreed was patently absurd, because we used to get Liza Minnelli's version after losses.
Yes.
So ever since it's been Frank Sinatra's version, it's something every time it happens, you know, you could turn to somebody next to you walking on the stadium and everybody agrees the same thing. But I guess nobody had the passion enough to vocalize enough like Keith did.
Very passionate. Yes.
And bless him. This is great.
And I agree with him. Now, I say that as a Met fan, so it didn't bother me the way I'm sure it bothered Keith and other Yankee fans. But the Yankees, all of a sudden this weekend, and the only reason it was revealed is because they lost a spring training game and played another Frank Sinatra song. So technically, Keith's T-shirts aren't fully accurate because...
That's Life was the name of this one.
Right. It's still Frank. It's just not that Frank.
And a better Frank song, by the way.
All right. I'm not starting that fight. But Keith's mission was completed, even if it's, you know, still a Frank Sinatra song. So it gets confirmed by Brian Hoke after they play That's Life by Frank Sinatra, and it's confirmed by the Yankees, we are going to play a different Sinatra song after each loss. That's the way it was left. So it may not be That's Life every time.
Right.
It may be a variety of songs.
Summer wind came blowing in.
Which, by the way, if it was up to me, I wouldn't do that. Because, well, we're going to play Chicago, this toddling town, after the Yankees lose. Like that, I wouldn't play Frank. I'd play somebody different completely.
That's Life is very fitting.
I agree. I mean, that's fine, but I wouldn't just play random Frank Sinatra songs.
Okay.
Now, the history of this, as you pointed out, is that years ago, they used to play Liza Minnelli's version of New York, New York, until Liza Minnelli complained about it. And I understand. Liza, who's a legend, was like, excuse me, what the hell is this? Why am I the loser? Why are we playing this when we lose? And then the Yankees changed that. And Liza also performed at Shea Stadium, I think after 9/11.
Right.
So that's the origin of it. And then the Yankees just started playing New York, New York, win, loser, draw. What I'm curious about, and I agree with their policy, and again, I congratulate, and I say thank you to Keith McPherson, because I do think that he pretty much got this done.
Hashtag thank you, Keith.
Hashtag thank you, Keith. What I don't understand, and I wish I had a great theory that would blow everybody's minds. It's more a question for you and anyone else. Why did the New York Yankees pick this weekend in February to announce two major policy changes that at the end of the day don't really matter, but they matter. And they matter a lot to fans. And I've been wrapping my head around this, like, all right, the beard policy we talked a lot about on Friday. Now the Frank Sinatra New York, New York policy. These are two things that young Yankee fans on social media have been complaining or talking about for many years. So I always like to find the why in life. Why did they decide to do it now? Sean, convince me.
All right, so first things first. I'm separating the two. I think the beard policy has to do with, you know, looser stuff. I talked about this, the barbecues they're having now, all this other stuff. And I think the conversations with players, that's fine. I think that this decision, by the way, you're saying, you know, it took the Yankees to announce this. No, they just started playing it and then people asked questions and that's when we found out that that's what they're going to be doing.
But it was inevitable it was going to be announced because they were going to lose a spring training game.
Exactly. So once they get asked, but they didn't want to make a big deal about it. Why they didn't want to make a big deal about it? The same reason they're doing it. Evan, what happened that finally woke up. They didn't lose to the Royals in July and have 30,000 people walk off to the subway and go, that's stupid, we're playing Sinatra. The Los Angeles Dodgers won a World Series and celebrated at Yankee Stadium as Frank Sinatra's New York, New York played.
The Houston Astros celebrated an American League championship.
Not a World Series.
Their archest rival celebrated an American League championship at Yankee Stadium in 2022. Look, while dancing to New York, New York.
But we're talking about a ceremony bringing out a stage. It took a world championship. And then, oh, by the way, in the days that followed, that same team that got to celebrate there in New York, New York, completely mocking the Yankees for fumbling all over themselves. I think it's the idea of watching another team celebrate the game's greatest honor, winning a World Series, while your Frank Sinatra song plays that finally drilled into the Yankees. This is embarrassing. We cannot have it anymore. I don't think they thought of this a week ago. I don't think they thought of this 2 weeks ago. My guess, if we could ask anybody in the DJ booth at Yankee Stadium, is that within 72 hours of the Dodgers being crowned champions, they knew enough was enough and this change was happening.
The reason I push back on that is that there have been bad moments at Yankee Stadium over the last 20-some-odd years.
It's a World Series!
They lost to the Red Sox in blowing a 3-0 lead.
Liza was still playing them, wasn't she?
I don't think so. I'll double check. I think the change was made before that, but I'll double check in fairness.
This is a World Series, though, Evan. I understand the ALCS. I understand rivals. The champion of the league was literally crowned in their building while New York, New York played by Frank Sinatra this year.
So you think losing to the Dodgers at home
final
is
stroke.
What did it?
Now, you want to tell me it was embarrassing with the Astros? I don't disagree. Fans have been complaining about this for a long time, but I think that's the final straw, because now any image, the Dodgers freaking World Series video, as they're huddling around, it's New York, New York playing.
Liza Minnelli gave the Yankees an ultimatum in 2001.
Wow, is that long?
Minnelli found out about this whole policy and was not pleased. In 2001, she gave the Yankee Stadium an ultimatum. Play her version after a win or do not play it at all.
Well, that means the Marlins then.
The stadium chose to play Sinatra's version whether the team won or lost. However, the New York Times tells it differently. They wrote that Paul McKibbins, Candor and Ebb's musical administrator, noticed how Yankee Stadium used Minnelli's song. He told the Yankees lawyers, who realized the mistake and stopped the tradition. Whatever. Point is, it apparently they stopped it prior to 2004.
Okay.
My point to you is...
There might have been something in between before they went to totally Frank both ways.
There have been other things at Yankee Stadium that one would deem embarrassing since. So that's why... By the way, it's a fine theory. I don't know if I fully buy it. Tommy, do you have a theory on why the Yankees, we know the beard policy. I mean, both of us kind of agreed that Soto leaving in free agency made them kind of reevaluate free agency a little bit. Fine, we argued about that on Friday. But how about this policy? This was changed too. Why?
When the Mets won, and I might add swept, the Subway World Series this year, Evan, myself, and other Met fans were skipping out of the stadium, and we were singing Frank Sinatra, New York, New York, as most of the Yankee fans were halfway home on the, you know, BQE, because it was a blowout victory. So I think somebody there went, wow, we can't be playing this song and having Met fans celebrating. And they said, all right, we'll change the policy. They had a massive L in middle of the season, and then in the offseason when they lost Juan Soto and their little brother now. So they're doing little brother type stuff.
Yeah. You can tell cleaning. Tommy doesn't own a car. He thinks the BQE goes right into Yankee Stadium.
That was a weird one.
Hey, you're driving home on the BQE Southern State. Is that a better one?
He just picks random highways.
Try the Major Deegan or the Bruckner for starters.
No, but hold on a second, though. If you get home and you're halfway home, wouldn't you be further away from Yankee
Depending
Stadium?
On where your home is, obviously.
Right, so we all have different homes.
Gotcha.
Tommy.
Gotcha. I mean, Tommy, he doesn't know roads, but
clearly
he talked his way out of it.
To be fair, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Okay. I think I have a theory. I'll reveal it in a few minutes. But let's go to Greg in Rumson, New Jersey. How are you, Greg?
Good. How you doing there, Evan? So I'm a big Met fan. And I'll just say, you know, I think it's really, it's just sad and pathetic that the only news that the Yankees can put out there are changing facial hair and changing their song. Like, that's all they have right now. And they're trying to, you know, dissuade your attention from what's going on at Citi Field and the Mets down in Florida.
I think you're half right. I think you were. Can I make my point, though? Because I think he took it to the Mets. Let me make this clear. This has nothing to do with the Mets. So my theory is not little brother, big brother, but before I give it, if you want to attack Greg, go ahead, get it out of your system.
Greg, unlike the Mets, we don't need to celebrate spring training wins and home runs at every single turn. These are simple moments. Oh, by the way, nobody was bragging about a loss. It took an observation from writers and fans about a song that got changed. And yes, facial hair got changed because we're farming our own land. The Yankees wiped the floor with the Rays on Friday. Did you hear any Yankee fan hooting and hollering going, can you believe a little Big Mac? Goldschmidt had a big double there? But Met fans, and bless your hearts, you care way more about these spring training results. I mean, Juan Soto homered. Unless you were listening to the fan, it was the biggest deal in the world.
Okay. This has nothing to do with the Mets. I wanted you to get that out of the system because my theory doesn't have to do with the Mets.
All right.
My theory has to do with changing the conversation. And sometimes you do things or you leak things or you announce things to say, don't look over here, look over there. It's actually a really good strategy that some politicians do. Just pay attention to what I say, not what I do. It's like a magic trick, and it's very effective. A lot of different politicians have done this over the years, and it works because most people are lemons. So they pay attention to what is said and not what is done.
Sheep.
I think that's what the New York Yankees are doing. And you know who agrees with me?
Chris McMonagle. Okay.
Who is a diehard Yankee fan. Oh, that hurts. Because he's a shill, right?
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a shill.
Yeah.
Little bit. Yeah. Chris McMonagle had the exact same point that I was thinking about last night, which is usually when something gets put out there, there's a reason. Things aren't done for coincidences. So my other theory that I've now eliminated was the Yankees have a social media team and they're paying attention to the younger Yankee fan. They're paying attention to what the younger Yankee fan tweets about. Okay. They're paying attention to it. And they see that the younger Yankee fan says, why are we playing Frank when we lose? As Keith made shirts about.
Yep.
And the beard policy, which has been talked about by for years by everybody. And so did they just follow what the youngins are saying on social media, or do they want to change the conversation? And the conversation lately has been how not spending enough at third base, how not doing enough. And the cynic in me, and I have to admit, Big Mac said this on his overnight show, which you can listen to right here on WFAN. And
he talked about the Yankees on his overnight show?
He did, believe it or not.
Wow.
And
suck it!
It really resounded with me? No. What's that word? Like it, Renee?
It resonated with me.
Right. It resonated with potato me because I'm like, I'm thinking the same thing, and he's a Yankee shill, and he's thinking the same thing, which is sometimes you do something because you don't want people to pay attention to what you're doing. They want you to pay attention to what you're saying.
Okay. I don't disagree with that overall. Theory in terms of life and everything. And maybe that is as it pertains to the beard policy. I really think this has nothing to do with the song thing. I really don't. Now, they might have paid attention to younger. I don't think they changed the song yesterday because, like, remember, people are going to talk about this. I think this is their plan, and what they do at Little Yankee Stadium compared to Big Yankee Stadium starting now is what they do throughout the regular season. So I think they just had a policy in place and they went with it.
Okay.
And by the way, what did it change the conversation for? A day? I mean, tomorrow we're going to be back to third base.
Usually these magic tricks don't work forever. You know what I mean? But they work for a period of time.
I mean, beard policy multiple days, change of the song. I mean, we're in and out in a day. We're pumped up and that's it.
Interesting. By the way, I do want to confirm something. What Brian Hoke said is that when they lose games, they will be rotating a selection of songs. So it won't necessarily be Frank Sinatra every time. They just chose to play Sinatra's That's Life the first time they lost. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. In fact, we should do a scorecard system of every time the Yankees lose, what song is played as the game ends. Can you start working on that, Sean?
Sure. And for the record, I think this is a good idea. Instead of settling on one thing, because maybe you find a groove after a while being like, this is really a lost song. Like, are they going to play Beck, Loser Baby at some point?
It's a great idea.
Is it, though? Because then you're really mocking yourself.
Well, you lost. I mean, what should you do? Should you be excited about it?
I think they nailed it with this one. I got
to
be real.
What do you mean they nailed it? Like, you like the idea?
That's Life is such a good way to do it. Like,
can you do me a favor? Because I get mocked for not knowing music, and rightfully so. I don't know music. There's a new song out called Losers, And it's by Post Malone and Jelly Roll.
Oh,
it is a very good song. So if you can find that, especially the chorus, I would nominate "Losers" by Post Malone and Jelly Roll.
It's just
Jelly Roll. It's not Jelly Roll.
Well, no, there's a space. It's jelly and then there's a roll, so it's Jelly Roll.
Before Paul just plays the song blindly, can we please check before we play something on the air that doesn't have curses because he's ready to fire off the song?
I went for the clean version.
Oh, you have a clean version? Okay. Right. Or you can do some editing before we play it. You want to do that or you want to play it?
You're the boss.
No, Tommy's the boss.
If it's a clean version.
First time bullies is to not just hit play on something.
If it's a clean version, I'll trust that it's a clean version. Go ahead. Post Malone and Jelly Roll. Losers.
Yes.
Well, I got to find the chorus first.
Where do we find these people?
We will do this later. We'll get to some of your calls. God. And then we will hear this song that I nominate as the song that, and the Mets could do it too. I mean, if the Mets want to play Losers by Post Malone and Jelly Roll, I recommend it. It's a hell of a song. I was listening to it the other day. Let's go to Chris in Queens. How are you, Chris?
Evan, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
So, Yankee Stadium is no longer filled with 70-year-old white guys. So, if you look at the stadium, nobody wants to hear Frank Sinatra's been dead for decades. We need to get a little more fresh, just like the Super Bowl halftime show. We cannot just have Frank Sinatra.
What are you talking about, Chris?
Somebody who's alive.
Chris,
what am I talking about?
Younger people don't love Frank Sinatra? What are we talking about here?
I don't think they may know him, but they don't care about him.
What do you want, people to walk out of the building after a loss listening to Drake? What do you think?
Listen to something more fresh. It's enough already. It's like traditions are meant to be broken. After a while, let's get something new. The Yankees haven't won in 18 or 15 years. Maybe change it up a little bit.
No.
But it's enough of Frank Sinatra. First of all, he's from Jersey, so who cares about him in the Bronx?
Chris, there's plenty of Yankee fans from Jersey. I don't even like Jersey. So what? Yankees going to win a big game versus the Red Sox? And what, Lady Gaga blasting all? What are you talking about?
Anything but Sinatra, just like your station. You got to change with the times.
I mean, we have changed with the times in fairness to our radio station.
That's it. What? Musicians drop dead. They're just forgotten about because the 26-year-old girl in a Volpe jersey don't want to hear Frank Sinatra at a Yankee game?
Well, no.
I mean, can anything just stay as so? Again, may the 4th be with you. I got another dopey CC Sabathia as a Wookiee bobblehead coming out. We blink the lights after home runs. I mean, now after wins, Adele rolling in the deep? Can we just play Frank?
I think that the majority is actually with you. I mean, he's right that Yankee Stadium is not filled with the same 75-year-old white men, but I think everybody was mostly happy with the tradition of Frank after wins. It was more Frank after losses.
Yeah, but he's saying, like, in general, change it up. Like, as if young people don't go into the Olive Garden anymore because they're not playing enough songs that, you know, make you feel like you're going to get crunk. I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, I do think there's going to be a day, Sean, where there's going to be a song, I don't think it exists yet, in fairness, that's going to resonate with fans as the We Just Won song. I don't think it's here yet. There's nothing that jumps out at me, so I think Frank is good for now. No. But in 2040, that song may be here.
No, 2040, you play New York, New York.
Great, great rant by Sean. I would say A-plus rant. Who's that fellow that works for you, Evan, with the tweets? Dan. All right, Dan, if you're listening, go through Sean's Twitter. I want to see every single time he mocked the Mets for playing Lou Monty, Lazy Mary. Lou Monty was dead when basically my parents were born.
I love Lazy Mary.
No, it's a great song, but I'm sure you have said disparaging things about the Mets playing that song over and over and over again because, again, Lou Monty, I can't even imagine when he passed away.
I also think, in fairness, like Lazy Mary just doesn't. I mean, New York, New York's our song.
No.
It is our freaking song.
No, but for a Met fan, that song is synonymous with our team.
Babe Ruth's dead. Let's unretire 3. He doesn't matter anymore. The young people want to see a Yankee wearing number 3.
Well, your football team did that.
Yeah. Okay, so the Babe, you know what? Gehrig, 2. 4. Bring it on down.
There is something to the thing. Just traditions are it's just peer pressure from dead people. So I don't think... I don't think...
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said.
It's great, actually. Tradition is peer pressure from dead people. It's actually very funny. I like that.
It's accurate if you think of it. They're not meant to be broken.
I'm being told the Post Malone song is clean and ready to go.
Here is the song I recommend for any team in this town to play after they lose. It's called Losers by Post Malone and Jelly Roll.
Yeah, this one's for the losers, the outcasts and the sinners. They ain't never been no winners. Let's hear it for the losers.
I never
it, folks.
Okay.
Can you imagine leaving a stadium? It's very, like, anthem-like. I love that. I recommend any team in this town. You don't have to give me credit. I'm not looking for it. But I think this should be the official loser song because it's kind of a good song.
You're missing the boat, though. I love Post Malone and Jelly Roll. I told you I'm going to see him at Citi Field this year. That's a great song.
Thank you.
And it's a great anthem feel.
Thank you.
But here's the problem. Think about the lyrics. Let's hear it for the... It's almost like you're celebrating a loss.
No, you're saying, you know what? These are our guys. We love them anyway.
No, but you're pissed
Let's
off.
Hear it for... The, what do you want to play?
I told play you, that's life was perfect. That's life. You lost the game, but you're pissed off.
A song from 100 years ago?
Again, I'm cool with dead people being honored.
All right.
It's you who want to scrub the dead.
I'm not trying to scrub the dead. I'm trying to tell you that.
Scrub the dead.
There will come a song in our lifetime that makes you say, that's the one. We have it. And I think in terms of losing, that song by Jelly Roll and Post Malone is the song. It came along. I heard it. I just play it one more time there, Rosie.
I got it.
One more time. Shut up. Place you in the winners. Yeah. Let's hear it for the losers.
No, just celebrating a loss thing. I got it.
What?
And people are still alive from the time. It's the 90s song, Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Not bad.
And you're never going to keep me down.
I get knocked down.
My only issue with that is that's a song I'd play after I get a two-run double when I was losing 2-0. Like, it's a rally song to me more than it is.
Yeah, but it for the next game.
Nah, I can't do that. I think that song really strikes the perfect tone of we're sad, we're kind of tearing up a little bit, but hey. Let's hear it for the losers, because those are our losers. You know what I mean?
All right. I mean, all I know is you're walking out to that song. You're not exactly getting girls dancing on the bar at Billy's after. Be careful with this one.
Get knocked down. I get up again. Ain't nothing going to keep me down.
Not eight nothing.
I get knocked down.
It's not 8-0.
What is it then?
I get knocked down, but I get up again, and you're never going to keep me down.
Whatever, same thing.
Ain't nothing going to keep you down.
No, I like that song. That is an absolute two-out double in the eighth. We tied the game song. I'm sorry. It doesn't fly with walking out of the stadium like a loser. I asked Brandon Tierney this question as the midday show was ending and we were coming on because I felt like he would give the most honest answer. And that was, who has a better chance to win a championship, the New York Knicks or St. John's? Good question, right?
Very good question.
And he's like, it's a good question. And
he answered like Francesa?
No, I don't have a BT imitation.
It would almost like you were going for the mic.
I don't have a good one. Maybe Gio has one. I do not have a BT imitation. But he even admitted, he's like, it's a very good question. And he leaned a little bit towards St. John's, but then even said like, well, you know, you, one bad day, you're out. But then also one good day and you advance. So I went to the odds, the FanDuel Sportsbook odds, just out of curiosity to see where we all rank in terms of chances at a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think is dead last in New York, furthest away from winning a championship with 200-1 odds?
Are we including the football teams?
We are including the football teams, the hockey teams, the basketball teams, the baseball teams, and St. John's. So it's an even 10 because we've got the 9 locals and we tacked on the Giants.
It can't be the football teams because they haven't started yet. The Nets got to be dead last.
You know what? I forgot to even look at the Nets.
Oh, God. You're not helping the case with the Nets.
I forgot to look at the Nets.
Their odds probably aren't even listed.
That's a great question. The team I had last was the Giants.
Okay.
At 200-1.
Still getting a cash out offer.
But hold on a second. You're right. Like, do they even give you the Nets as an option?
The Nets still in the league.
They're technically not eliminated.
No, you know what? Hold on. I don't see him.
How do you not
look? Oh, I got him. Okay. It is 100,000-1. Wait, how many zeros are there?
Oh, God.
It's 1,000-1. Okay, so they are dead last. I apologize. I forgot them. Like, it's the boomer class. Are they still in the league? No, I forgot. Meanwhile, they got a real chance to make the play-in tournament. They have a chance to go as far in the playoffs as the Knicks do. And by the way, if that happened, Tommy, draft pick be damned, you'll never hear the end of it, just so you know. So, yeah, the Nets are last. The Giants are 200-1.
Jets next?
Jets are 160-1.
And they were next? Okay. Then the next has to be the Islanders.
Islanders are next, 120-1. You're doing great.
So now we get a little dicey.
We're going to do a big jump now because those teams, unfortunately, the Islanders, the Jets, the Giants, and the Nets are buried. They have like no chance according to the FanDuel odds. So there's a jump in which it becomes a little bit more reasonable.
I'm going to say the Rangers are next.
Got it right. Rangers are 35-1.
Okay.
So now you've got the Devils, the Knicks, the Mets, the Yankees, and St. John's. Who is next?
Devils.
Incorrect.
Knicks.
Incorrect.
Yankees?
St. John's.
Oh, I keep forgetting we're including St. John's.
St. John's is at 26 okay. to 1. So now we've got four teams left. Who's next?
The Devils.
No, the New York Knicks
wow.
are 15 to 1. Third is the Devils at 13 to 1.
Okay.
The Mets at 11 to 1. And the Yankees are 7 to 1.
Okay.
But I was surprised the Knicks are at 15 to 1 and the Johnnies are at 26 to 1 because I would tell you, nature of the sport being a big factor here, that the Red Storm have a better chance to win a championship than the Knicks do.
But it could be telling you nature of the. Of that is also 68 teams in a tournament. One bad day and you're done.
One bad day and a number one seed is knocked out too.
No, I agree. It's very volatile, which is why it's very tricky to always bet a national champion. But in reality, I don't care what the odds say. I think St. John's has a better chance.
Tommy, do you agree that St. John's has a better chance to win a championship than the Knicks?
I don't.
No.
I don't think. I think St. John's is going home early, to be honest with you, because they can't shoot.
But it's okay. But it's not a matter of what you think they're going home early. It's a matter of who, in reality, based on the sport and who they're going to be lined
no,
up with.
No, because I think if you look at college basketball, and I think even the diehard St. John fans will agree with this, Auburn, Duke are clearly the two sure. best teams in the country, just like OKC, Boston are two clearly the
but
best teams in the NBA.
They can win a national championship never seeing those teams that are clearly better than them, where the Knicks, you know, are at the
I
very
agree.
Least going through one of the Celtics.
I completely. It's the nature of the sport. It's
yeah.
not, I know you're taking this as a troll on the Knicks. It's not.
No, I'm not.
I think it's the
I'm
nature
not.
Of the sport. The Knicks are like 1,000%, barring something like really unforeseen, going to have to go through Boston, maybe Cleveland gets picked off, and then a loaded Western Conference team. St. John's could get the luck of Cinderella
well, right.
and face none of those teams you mentioned.
And that's really the issue here is that until we see the bracket, you can't tell me that St. John's is going to the Final Four winning the championship. We got to see who they're playing first.
Sure.
We got to see who's in their region, who they're going to see in a semi. Like, that really matters, matchups. Where in the NBA, you could say, all right, the Knicks are playing the Hawks in the first round, and then they'll have the Celtics. We know the road for the Knicks. We don't really know the road for St. John's.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Bobby is in Belmore. Good afternoon, Bobby.
Good afternoon, yeah. Their third base is expensive. $30 million over the next two for DJ LeMahieu. But that's why they're not going after a third baseman. They hope he wins the job. But let me get to my point with the New York song with Sinatra. The last time that I could think of a New York song that had a negative effect was in 2018 when Judge was red hot in Fenway, 7-for-11. Then he plays the Wham Box, Boombox, whatever.
Yep.
It's the New York song. Proceeds to go 1-for-8 in that series, a series that was winnable. And he's been bad in the postseason ever since.
Oh.
So, you know.
How about that? You want to throw that in there? Because I do remember that moment. The Yankees got a split in Boston. Aaron Judge is doing the boombox thing, playing New York, New York. The Yankees lose the next two games at the stadium. And, yeah, Aaron Judge has not had some great postseasons. How about that theory?
So a little jinx. Judge jinxed himself. See, here's the problem with doing that. I didn't mind Judge actually doing that because it should. You know, every once in a while, it's nice if your team has some balls. And Judge had some there. I hope that didn't change.
Gomez in the Bronx. What's going on, Gomez?
Hey, quick question. Over the weekend, one of your colleagues was talking about how any team in New York needs an ace to win a World Series. But we look at the Dodgers. They won with the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually all agree with that sentiment?
No, you do not need an ace to win a World Series. Absolutely not. You don't even need a great rotation to win a World Series. So I respectfully disagree with the colleague. I don't know who that colleague was, but I think that baseball's changing and it's difficult to wrap our heads around it. And I'm going to go into greater detail on this on a Rico. I may even do it around here, but I'll give it to you very briefly on how baseball has changed. Are you ready? I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yes. First of all, I'm also very proud of you and Met fans. Bro.
Proud of us for what?
Yankee fans have been trying to tell you guys this for the last like 6 years as baseball's changed, and Met fans have always fought when they had the great rotation about their pitching. But now you
you fought with us and you were right. Like, I've evolved over the years, but I still want a great rotation.
You can't have dog-turd pitching.
I still want aces. Like, okay. Is that a contradiction without getting into details?
No,
that
you can
I'd
want
like
them,
a,
but admit that
it's not necessary.
It's not necessary.
No.
Right.
It's just not. Like, what you need to do, and I give my former producer, Ernie Acosta, a lot of credit for this, because he would fight with me about this for years, where he'd say, pitching's not that important, it's all about offense. And I'd say, no, I think you're wrong about that. But the reality is, if you have a top 10 offense in Major League Baseball, your chances of making the postseason are at about 90%. Mm-hmm. If you have a top 10 starting pitching staff, your chances of making the postseason are at about 55%. If you score runs, and that's just facts, like I literally looked at all the playoff teams over the last half a decade. If you score runs and your pitching can survive, really, you're a playoff team. And then once you get to the postseason, as we've seen a lot of examples of, you don't have to be the best team. You've just got to be playing the best baseball. Like, if you look at the Texas Rangers when they won the World Series, they had star power, but did they really have an ace?
No. No, and one further.
Did the Dodgers have an ace?
And Flaherty was not an ace, no.
Last year, the L.A. Dodgers starting pitching in the regular season, their ERA was ranked 19th. The Cleveland Guardians, the team you beat in the ALCS, their starting pitching was ranked 24th.
Right.
When the Diamondbacks got to the World Series 2 years ago, their starting pitching was ranked 21st. So we now live in a world, and I'm a traditionalist saying this, but I also have to just understand the world we live in. Offense matters more than pitching.
Especially when every pitcher has a quick hook anyway in these playoff games.
It's a big part of it, and during the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, how are you not going through a third time through the the lineup?
But to your point about Met fans, like, I was certainly one of them, and I love the idea of having a super rotation. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's quite a sneeze.
Yeah, I never sneeze quietly.
I'm still waiting to sneeze live on the air because I got made fun of in the where do I sit near? The salespeople. Because I had a sneeze. And the salespeople were aghast, like, whoa, what was that? And I'm like, yeah, I got a loud sneeze.
No.
And I haven't been able to share that with the live radio audience, so hopefully the next time I sneeze, I'll do it in the microphone.
Your sneeze could wake up the dead.
I know
that. It is disturbing.
No.
And I feel like I need to know CPR every time you sneeze.
Well, that's why I want to sneeze into a microphone so the audience can share it with us.
But I believe that you do it on purpose.
No.
Yeah, you do.
No, I actually back Evan up because I don't do that on purpose. Sometimes you just have it. You ever have a smelly sneeze, by the way?
No.
Oh. I'm still trying to figure that out.
What do you mean? Like, you smell it?
It smells so bad.
Interesting.
And I don't know if it's like something around me smells bad and my nasal package got cleaned out or like maybe my breath smelled bad and it came through the
back. I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah?
You got stinky breath, so when you sneeze, like, the air comes out.
Mm.
But no, in terms of my own sneeze, I do not do that on purpose. But you can ask my wife. You can ask my parents. You can ask my sister. Like, they've been around me my entire life. I have a very loud, scary-sounding sneeze.
But, Sean, wouldn't you agree that everybody has, like, an A sneeze and a B sneeze? It's like a pick-off move. Meaning, if you're in a certain room, you need to, like, just go, but not...
No, you can't control it,
bro.
Yeah, you don't want to blow blood vessels.
Yeah, I don't want to die because I sneezed and I held it in just because Loogie told
not
me to.
Not holding it in, but you can, like, lessen the loudness of it.
Nah,
yes, you can.
Not if it's coming that way.
Tommy, this is one of those cases. I don't want to put the rope around your neck. Can you just take this L and move on? It's come on. I have a sneeze. I don't want it to be obnoxious. It is. We live with it. And all I said was, I'd love to share it with the audience so at least you can hear what people go
for. So why don't we get something to make you sneeze? People sneeze based on smell.
Can you bring that in tomorrow?
Yeah.
And going back to our first conversation, this Met rotation right now is nothing to sneeze at.
Very nice. That was very nice. I forgot my other point about rotations. I don't think it matters anymore. Quite frankly, it doesn't even matter anymore. Let's go to Ross in Bergen County. How are you, Ross?
Evan, Sean, how you guys doing?
What's up, Ross?
Yo.
So I think it's kind of unanimous at this point, undisputable, that there's a three-headed monster in the NBA right now. Obviously, Boston coming off the chip, Tatum Brown. I think OKC, we got to see it in the playoffs, but as long as they're blowing teams out by 30 points on a nightly basis, we could give them the benefit of the doubt, too. But I think the Cavs are the team that the Knicks are going to take a page out of the book of. Now, obviously, the reason is 2 years ago, and that team roster isn't very different. The Knicks just wiped the floor with that Cavs team. And even last year, they were kind of in the tier that the Knicks are in now. Second round, you're lucky if you win a game or two, but Boston's going to outmatch you. And I think the difference is J.B. Bickerstaff was a really good coach, but he wasn't a great coach. He was a culture-changing coach, but he wasn't a title-winning coach. And also another example, I think, is the same summer Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year. He got fired and replaced by a guy who won something he could never win with DeMar DeRozan.
I think you're right that if the Knicks run into a wall come postseason time, we're going to evaluate Tom Thibodeau. And I think that we are going to figure out, hey, is that the first major change this franchise needs to make? Now, there's a few questions to that. Number one, who's the guy? Who is the replacement that you think is taking them to the next level? But the second thing I want to bring up in regards to Cleveland is that while Kenny Atkinson deserves a lot of credit and coaching has made a big impact on that, they've got two young core players that have gotten better in Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. And I think that matters. I think that seeing the growth of guys on your team that are now entering their prime has also made a difference. Every player on the Knicks, main player on the Knicks, they're in their prime. They're in the middle of
right.
it. I mean, Jalen Brunson, Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, OG, I mean, this is it. So I think one difference with Cleveland, I don't think it's as simple as Kenny Atkinson. Now, Kenny deserves a lot of credit,
right?
But how about the development of Mobley and Garland that have played a big role in it?
You don't think this summer and the beginning of the season, Atkinson had anything to do with their development?
No, I'm not right. dismissing it. I'm saying it's not just Kenny. Okay. Kenny deserves a lot of credit.
We but saw it here.
Yeah, but the Cavs are still, by the way, goodbye SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's next on SNY. I'm not dismissing Atkinson's impact. What I'm saying is he inherited a team that was still young and learning. The right. Knicks are not a young and learning team. So can coaching make a difference? Absolutely. But I don't think it's as simple as to say, hey, the difference with Cleveland this year is just Kenny Atkinson. It's not. There's a lot of things. And I think those two players specifically, growing and getting better and maturing, have a lot to do with it.
I don't deny that, but I think we are going to get to a point in time when you realize the way Tibbs coaches and has him, you know, basically be run into the ground won't ever be the downfall ever.
Do you like maturing? I'm going with maturing instead of maturing. Maturing sounds almost like wiser.
I like it because last week I got a lot of complaints about calling a tournament a tournament, so I like you switching it up a little.
Thank you. Eric's in, oh my God, what did I do to the screen? Oh, I got it back. Eric's in Bayshore. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Eric? Man?
So you were talking about sneezes and, you know, sneezing inappropriately in certain situations. And so I had to share a story from when I was in high school back in the day. And there was this kid in my physics class who would, it was not his real sneeze, but on purpose during, like, physics tests when it was completely quiet, he would sneeze really, really loud, like, but do it every single time so that the teacher couldn't say anything. He was consistent about it. So we'd be in the middle of a test. And he would do this extremely loud sneeze, and the teacher would look at him with this nasty look, but she couldn't say anything because he did it every single time. He's like, that's my sneeze.
It's the stupidest but funniest call.
It is very good. Thank you, Eric. That's fine. All
so
I'm saying is...
consistent troll is what the kid...
All I'm saying is I do not manipulate my sneeze.
And all I'm saying is people have a public and private sneeze. If you're at a funeral, you're going to not do the private sneeze. You're going to do the public sneeze.
What have I told you? That sneeze that you've heard that you tried to describe to the audience was done once at a funeral.
By you?
Yeah, because I couldn't control it, bro. Do you think I was looking for attention at a funeral?
Not that you're looking for attention. I think sometimes you lack a little self-awareness.
You don't think I was aware that I was at a funeral? You don't think I was thoroughly embarrassed that I couldn't hold that sneeze in, but I couldn't?
Are we talking a real funeral or like you sneeze because the ashes of freedom were going everywhere?
No, real funeral.
Okay. Yeah, like you were at a funeral home.
Yeah, I was at a funeral home.
And you sneezed as loud as I've heard you sneeze in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah, and luckily it broke the tension and people left. So it worked out, but I didn't mean to.
No wonder he wants to get rid of Frank Sinatra. He has no respect for dead people, even at their funeral.
Clearly. Lack of respect. Just, you got to do your inside sneeze.
I'm going to defend Evan.
Paul Pauly. Okay, fine. He's going to defend
you. I'm going to defend you.
Sneezing, what you want, Evan?
Sneezing is a natural bodily function.
Thank you.
So it's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Let's just fart in front of cancer.
Thank you,
now.
Sean. Thank you.
No, but
you wouldn't do that, would you?
Hold on. I can hold in flatulence. I can. I can hold in burps for the most part. I cannot change or alter my sneeze, and accusing me of that is blasphemous.
Well, what's a flatulence?
A flatulence is a fart.
No, it's not. Look that word up. That's your homework tonight.
You could put your hand over your mouth to make it quieter, or, you know, come on.
All right. The accumulation of gas in the alimentary canal. So I got it right. So what are you talking
Pronounce
about?
Pronounce the word.
Flatulence.
That's the word.
What did I say?
I can't even, like, go back to what you said, but it wasn't that.
What did I say?
Flatulence?
Whatever. You got what I meant. You know what I meant. These guys are picking on me.